Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
This is an historic week for the United States Senate regarding the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this is a major event that's in the making. The future of the U.S. Supreme Court literally is hanging in the balance. We're talking about, Holly, changing a seat that was the most activist seat on the Supreme Court in our current makeup of the court with a person who is a constitutionalist, somebody who's going to be dedicated to the original intent and understanding of the Constitution, Amy Coney Barrett. And so this is the week where we look at that confirmation vote, and it's going to be a close one. So we have a webpage at lc.org/Barrett, lc.org/Barrett, that you can go to and learn more about this particular nominee and the process that's coming up this week. You can make your voice heard through faxes as well as a petition. But right now, since time is of the essence, the easiest, most efficient way is to go there and to fax members of the U.S. Senate. We need a majority of votes to vote to confirm Judge Barrett as the next Supreme Court Justice.
You know, I really believe that she is like Esther for such a time as this. You know, we thought she would be the one back when Kavanaugh was nominated by the president. But that wasn't the case, of course. And we went through all the rigmarole and the drama and everything with Kavanaugh, and he was thankfully finally appointed to the court. And now we have Amy Coney Barrett for this time. And as you said, she is a constitutionalist. She reads the Constitution. She applies the law to the Constitution, which is what a justice should do. We should not be dealing with activist judges at all.
No. And so, you know, it is very, very critical to have judges or justices, in this case on the Supreme Court, that understand and respect the rule of law, that will interpret the Constitution, mm-hmm. not create the law.
And she's been very clear about that, and the questioning that she's gone through with these senators asking her all these questions. She is very consistent with her answers.
Yeah, in fact, the Democratic senator from Hawaii, Hirono, asked her whether, since turning age 18, she has ever sexually assaulted anyone.
Unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable that she would ask a question like that.
That's so unprofessional.
Judge Barrett just simply said, no, Senator. And then others, you know, think that she can't serve because she is a person of faith. You know, the vice presidential candidate, Senator Kamala Harris, was very rude to her. Didn't even really allow her to answer any questions, really was just doing an ad hominem attack on her. But, you know, it is important for Christians to vote. Voting and elections have consequences. With regards to having the right person on the Supreme Court, cases such as abortion, religious freedom, the clash between religious freedom and LGBT issues, so many more, the Second Amendment, and you go on and on and on, they're all at stake. And what we're seeing is in the appointments that have been made in the lower court, there are huge differences in judicial philosophies. The president has been selecting nominees that are dedicated to interpreting the law based upon its original understanding and its intent. Whereas previous presidents, Republican and Democrat, particularly Democrat, but even Republicans, they're hit and miss on this. Democrats have had very consistent type of people that they have been nominating. And those are, by and large, individuals who are more activists along the activist realm of things. Republican presidents have done both. They haven't had that commitment to judicial philosophy that President Trump has. But, you know, you go back to the 2016 election. Holly, 40 million Christians did not vote in 2016. A poll found that 40% of them did not vote because either they didn't like the candidates or they didn't think their vote would make a difference. But, you know, if you look at things from a broader perspective, a presidential race or even a state or local race. It's not a beauty pageant. It's not even a personality pageant. It's a policy pageant, if you will. It's a policy contest. What are the policies that this particular candidate stands for compared to the policies that the other candidate stands for? Now, you're never going to have perfect choices in any of those opportunities to select somebody to vote. You may not be 100% satisfied with any of those candidates. But what you do need to do is make your vote count. You need to vote for the candidate who best will advance, as your appointed agent, the values and policies that you believe are grounded in biblical values and immutable rules of law, as well as the Bible.
You know, absolutely. You know, when I first heard that number, 40 million, I was just appalled. 40 million Christians who claim the name of Christ did not vote. Now, so let's go and look at the Bible here. Let's talk about the story of the parable of the talents. And you know in that story that doing nothing was not an option in that story. And it's not an option for us as a steward of what we have as far as the sanctity of life, God's design for the family, religious freedom. Jesus commanded us. He commanded us to be salt of the earth and light of the world. So we are responsible for choosing those people that govern us. You know, the church is supposed to be an influence on the government. So we as Christians are to influence that government in choosing those people that govern us.
Yeah, avoiding our civic responsibilities is contrary to the mandate that we are to be salt and life. And, you know, we must stand for what the Bible stands for, particularly, for example, the sanctity of human life. God is the author of life. The Bible clearly says that even in our mother's womb, he knit us together and he knew us very intimately.
Right.
And Jeremiah was even called by God before any human actually saw him while he was in his womb. That's when God put the call on the prophet Jeremiah. Psalm 139 speaks about God knows our inward parts. He knits us all together. He's the author of life. Jesus has a lot to say about not causing children to stumble, not being a hindrance for children. Now, what if you are engaged in killing children? Obviously, you know that's wrong. But what if you appoint somebody who actually kills children? That's just as wrong because that person is your agent. What if you have the opportunity to appoint somebody who will protect children, but you don't, and you let your neighbor appoint somebody who will kill children, even take money from your pocket, your hard-earned dollars, and then use that to pay for the destruction of innocent human life? That will be considered an act that you have done. So voting is the appointment of an agent.
Absolutely. You look and, you know, go back to Genesis. Look at what God created. He created gender, male and female. He created marriage between one woman and one man. He created the miracle of childbirth. And now through the courts, we have destroyed each of those through Roe versus Wade, through Obergefell. And now you see we, even at Liberty Counsel, are fighting these same-sex gender, these counseling laws. We are seeing those three miracles that he has created being destroyed because of those people that we have appointed in office.
And interestingly, when you look at God's sequence, it has become deconstructed in reverse order.
Absolutely.
So God creates Adam and Eve, and so he creates gender,
male
and female.
Right.
And then he brings them together as husband and wife. They are united together as one, as husband and wife. And then as a result of that unity together, they procreate another human being in the very image of God.
Right.
That's either male or female. So what ultimately happened in the United States, and this all happens through the court system.
Absolutely.
It is a complete reverse deconstructing of God's created order. God created gender, male and female. He created marriage. He created procreation and the opportunity to birth another human being. In 1973, the Supreme Court ultimately goes with the latter. You can kill the human being that you create. Then in 2015, deconstruct marriage that God created. Then in 2020, you have even the abolition of gender under attack,
right,
that there is no such thing as male and female objectively. It's just all in your mind. So it is a complete deconstruction of right. God's created order in reverse.
And when we don't vote, we are accountable for that.
And so when we're talking about this upcoming election, 40 million people in 2016. Now, in 2016, there were a record number of evangelical Christians and Catholics that voted, a record right. number. But even with that record number, it's astonishing that 40 million people did not vote. That's twice the size of the entire population of Florida, the third largest state in the union. Twice the size. Unbelievable. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/Barrett.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.